Hello, everyone. I'm Cecilia Tayeb, and this is The Impulse, the Kupra Tribes podcast. For those who might not know me, I'm Kupra Nseat, Global Director of Communications, and I'm really thrilled for today's episode. It's a special one. Today, we're just outside Barcelona at Football Club Barcelona's amazing training facilities, Ciutat Esportiva Joan Gamper. And it's an exciting time for football. A new generation of bright young players is emerging as role models for millions around the world. Players who are committed and passionate about making their dreams come true by doing things in a very different way. Today, we'll be speaking with some of these role models, the impulse of the next generation. And join me to do so on this special edition between Kupra and 433 is Sam Valralta. Welcome to The Impulse.
Hi, Cecilia. How are you?
Hi, Sam. It's a pleasure sharing with you what is about to happen in this huge collaboration between Kupra and 433, one of the largest social sports communities in the world. Today on The Impulse, we're chatting with some of Barca's players to get to know where the impulse of this next young generation comes from. On this special episode, the Kupra Next Gen podcast in collaboration with 433. Our first guest is one of the best goalkeepers in the world, Kupra ambassador, and a person 100% committed to sustainability.
Welcome, Marc-André Ter Stegen.
Welcome. Thanks for joining us on this special edition podcast. So, hello, Mark. How are you?
I'm very good. Thank you for asking.
So, first question, what was the impulse of you as a kid to become a professional footballer?
Well, it's a passion. So when you start with your passion and you just enjoy the game, I think it makes it always easier, no, to get into something. And if you follow being very interested as a kid, it's very important that you don't force yourself, that it's very natural. And because then it's easier to keep on going. And yeah, it was my passion. So I kept on believing in it. And I was lucky to make it my job.
So Mark, you've been living here for over 7 years now, right? So when you moved here, you were one of the younger players in the team, and now you're one of the more senior players in the team. So
what do you want to say with this?
so when we're talking like about the next generation, right, the young guys coming up, how do you see your role in relation to those guys?
Well, as you say, it changed quite a lot during these years. When I came, I had to enter always in the, we play like a rondo, it's called. So normally the youngest, they enter. And then you are so happy when one day there are some others, they're younger. And then you see how time flies actually. And you're not even asked to enter. So but obviously, I try to be important for them in the sense that if they need me, I would try to help them out in whatever. And to make the adaptation as easy as possible for them, so that it's interesting, exciting, and that they learn and can just perform on the pitch.
And building on that question, I'm sure that they have different challenges and opportunities than you had at the time when you started. Which ones are they? What do you think is different for this new generation?
Well, now there are way more players who are younger, and so it's a bit different than when I was when I came here. We didn't have too many young players who would also start. Now we have quite a lot. And this already changed. So at the end, they have a big responsibility. We have to really trust them a lot. And it couldn't be better for them to play and to make their own experience in very young stage of their career.
So when you were growing up, you still had that era without social media and stuff, right? And then and now it's ever present, especially for the young guys coming up right now. What kind of impact do you think that has on the development of young football players?
Yeah, at the beginning when I started playing professional football, well, it was different, no? Maybe the attention was there. It started. It was there was a lot of space to improve in this sense, and now, as you say, it's very present for everyone. Each and every time there's coming another platform, you can present yourself to the people, and where you can show your personal side as well. And this changed a lot during the last years, no? And well, it's something I'm very used to now, because it's obviously one of our positive sides as well, to create like an environment to the fans, to the supporters, to show them what we are actually doing. I think back then, if you think about 20, 30 years ago, this wasn't even an option.
And it's a bit of a double-edged sword, I feel, right? Because the pressure that, you know, these young players get on social media whenever they come out of a match, I think that's huge, right? Whether they do it well or wrong. If you do a great match, you're the god. And if you do a match that is so-so, you get trashed, right? So that must be difficult.
Yeah, for them, it's obviously is very different. The mindset as well, because it's, you just see the... actually everybody is judging you, and before maybe you didn't realize, but even though they were judging you, but now you realize because they've write about it, or they post a photo, or they make a GIF about it, or whatever. So it follows you everywhere, and it's good and it's bad, but of course for the people it's good to express their thoughts, and for us it's very important, and even more for the younger players. And this is what you said at the beginning, also in the first question, that we have we have to create an environment where they feel comfortable, and that they realize that inside of the group they are very important topics we need to discuss, and it's really independent of what other people say, because sometimes the opinions are very, they vary quite a lot. So we need to really be concentrated on our job.
I think it's interesting you spoke about mindset as well, that when you were younger, mental fitness for players, it wasn't really talked about that much, and nowadays it's very different. Players are open that they speak to sports psychologists, you have mindfulness and stuff. Do you have certain routines to mentally prepare yourself for games?
Yeah, definitely. I think this is one of the good parts and bad parts as well. I think nowadays it's way more important to be mentally strong. And to know exactly what you have to do, you know, that you always can focus again, and therefore we have many options, and some have it a bit more, and they have probably live it a bit easier with the mental stage or with the mental game, I would call it. You have many options, but the longer or the more years you are playing football, more and more important this topic might get also, no? And because probably at the beginning of your career you don't really realize, and then afterwards a few years later you realize how important is nutrition, how important is to have like an environment, your family, your people around you. And this at the beginning is just football. It's just like enjoying your job, your hobby actually, and just playing to play. You don't have to think about it so much.
Yeah.
And what does success mean to you? What are the values that drive you, right?
Well, success is always, it really depends on the people. From which perspective they want to see it, but success can be in we have roles, no? Actually, we have roles in everything. We have roles in football. We have roles in private life, as a husband, maybe as a father. So all this is really important to distinguish. And in my case, success is being part of a strong group. This is also because it's a game in a team. So to be successful together, that that there is a strong belief in what you're doing, and growing as a team, because then you can be really successful if everybody is believing in your proper strength.
I think Cooper also asked fans to send in some questions. One of your big fans sent in a question. I think it's interesting, and let's hear that, and I'd like to talk a bit about that as well.
How do you cope with pressure before an important game?
Very interesting question. Yeah, it's a bit of what I said, no? The focus is really, for us, it's like we play every three or four days right now. So it's always important to find the right balance also. So the activation of your complete body, and then also to say like, okay, today is a rest day. So both is very important, because if you're always on the same focus, it's more and more difficult during the time. It's not maybe about the situation, it's more about the long-term perspective. So yeah, it's about being ready in the moment. It really comes to being in top form. And for me, it's very interesting to see how routines can actually influence in your performances, because the more routine you have in your day, in your daily routine, is the easier it will be, because you don't have to think about different things. So it's always the same setup, and this makes it quite easy.
That's interesting. So when you talk about routines, like a day in the life of Marc-André ter Stegen, what would that be? What kind of routines do you have?
Well, right now with the training and everything, of course, we normally train in the morning. So for me, it's waking up, getting myself ready, being with my son in the morning. So everybody has his own routine, obviously. And then I have treatment in the morning before I come to the training ground.
What's your breakfast before you go out?
I don't have breakfast right now. Oh, okay. No, sometimes yes, sometimes no. But right now it's sometimes a coffee. And I share some moments with my wife and my son before they go to kindergarten, and me, I go to the treatment. And after this, I come to the training ground. It's really the same almost every morning. And then after training, it depends on how I feel, also to have another treatment afterwards, or maybe sometimes in the afternoon. It depends also when the next game is. Mm. And then normally I'm working in the afternoon once more. It depends on, as I said, how many days you have in between. If it's three, probably there's not too much time. If you have 4 days to the next game, you have a bit longer, a bit more time, and you can do a lot of mobility. I'm a big fan of mobility and strength. So you can find your balance, and this is probably what I do. And then I try to find as much time as possible to spend with my son and my wife. No, so we are trying to do activities and to really balance football, and to find also a disconnection from all this.
And outside of football, because I know you're part of the Cooper Tribe, and we talk a lot about sustainability and the next generation. So you support a lot of philanthropic projects. Why is it so important for you?
Yeah, because we can have a big, with little things, we can have a big impact. And this is what I always want to let people know what I think. But more than only saying something, I really want to live it, you know? Because if you can identify, it's easier to also to reach people. So, and this is how I decide also for my partners, if I'm interested in which role they want to play in society. And this is also why I chose Cupra, because there's a total package I really like, and they are following also the same philosophy. And so I like all that topic, but also you can extend it to crazy. There's almost no limit. But of course, I try to see if it's nutrition, that it's kilometer zero, so that it's everything close by. So I really try to make little impacts, but try to make an impact. And I think if everybody does this, I think we are not in such a bad position in, I don't want to say save the planet, but being a bit more conscious about how we actually live.
Yeah, you already mentioned your son and your family. You became a father in 2019, right? At the end of...
Yes.
Yeah. So what do you think the biggest difference will be between the world you grew up in as a when you were a kid and the world Ben will grow up in?
Well, he is privileged in the sense that we are all healthy and happy. So I think from then on, obviously, he has all the opportunities he wants to. He can be the person he wants to. He wants to be, and this is what we try to. We're gonna give him all the tools we can, so that he later on he can develop in a world which is probably also, yeah, something we start being an idol in that sense, and so he would just follow and maybe find his own way, and let's see where it gets him. Also, what is actually his main quality, you know, and well, as I said, we can just help him and push him towards the direction, and from then on he needs to also be his own person and find his own personality. And I think this is very interesting.
Does he like soccer or
I will get him there, but right now he is more into cars.
He can be part of the tribe, don't worry, bring him whenever you want.
He would be so happy, I tell you. Yeah, he's waiting. Okay. When I come home, he's waiting there for the car. He loves to be in the car and just toot toot and all the time, and it's funny.
Perfect. Let's get him a Cupra soon.
That's good. What's the best piece of advice your parents gave you?
Actually, I didn't have a lot of time with my father, and I'm quite happy about it. But with my mother, of course, my mother tried to teach me like the basic things in life, and I see her right now still, that she's not changing anything in her philosophy. I see her being super happy also with my wife and my son. So. Well, I'm just convinced that she gave me the right advice, being humbled, being somebody I want to be, and as I said before in a question before, that I can identify with myself. And I think it doesn't say anything if you're a football player, a physiotherapist, a chef, like for the kitchen or something. It doesn't really matter, but if you can identify with yourself and you're just happy, I think everybody has. There's no limit.
You are happy doing what you do today, but I'm sure you had to do some sacrifices at some point to become a footballer. What were those?
Yeah, when I was probably in the age when others went out partying, having fun with other friends and so on, I was probably, having a look that I'm on time for training in the afternoon, that I would be ready for the game on the weekend. So these are all things I probably didn't have, but I didn't miss it, or I don't have the feeling that I missed something, because right now it's I still have the same feeling that I enjoy to have nice people around, but I don't need to be on parties. So this is very interesting, no? Because sometimes people say, yeah, I didn't have anything of this, and now I have to recover a bit the time I wasn't be able to. But I don't have this, so I'm very happy that I have the people around I want to have around, and where there's a good energy, and this gives me way more. And probably this is the biggest sacrifice, because it's something you don't see in the moment, but you see it in the later stage when you're 10 years further.
Hmm. So what's the best piece of advice you can give to younger players coming up now?
Well, right now you have players, they're 17, 18, whatever. They're playing for Barca, and sometimes you can also get irritated, no? Because it's a big club. It's the people have a lot of expectations. So what I wish them actually is that they stay humble, that they know exactly where their place is, and that they keep on growing, no? Because growing is always something everybody should strive for, and. I'm looking forward to see years passing by and seeing people developing.
That's good.
Very wise words, Mark.
Yeah. No. I don't want to say something in like a strange position, but I enjoy really seeing people growing. It doesn't matter if they are now 24 or 30, but I see sometimes also players who are like in my age, and I still see it on me. That I go for the next, always the next step, no? And that you can always get better in some points, and and well, so it's very interesting to see also how everybody in a club or in a team is finding their place, but also getting better in making really little changes sometimes.
What will be the next step for you? How can you grow further?
Well, it's something I'm thinking about constantly, because obviously I want to be always on my best, and this is why I'm training. We are analyzing quite a lot. I think I made very good steps also in finding the right balance in with nutrition, with moving, with my training. This is something, as I said before, something probably before I didn't realize as much, but then with the years, you know exactly what you need to be ready for a game. So this is something I'm finding out more and more and more, and it's easier to repeat also performances if you know exactly what you have to do.
Thank you so much, Mark. And we're going to let you go because you have a match and you need to prepare for the match, just as you said.
That's
so
true.
Thank you so much for your time, for your candor.
Thank you.
It was a pleasure, and see you very soon.
It was awesome.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So you landed in Barcelona 2 years ago, following a dream. Frankie de Jong, welcome.
Thank you.
So, what was the impulse for you as a kid to become a professional footballer?
The impulse, yeah. I think my family, they were always involved in football already, so I just grew up with it. And from the moment I started with football, I really liked it and I wanted to become a pro. So I think from a really young age already.
But along the way, you know, to become a pro, that's also a lot of sacrifice, right? What do you think is the biggest sacrifice you had to make to become a pro?
I think you have to, for example, I didn't go to parties a lot when I was young. Of course, I went to some. But for me, it didn't really felt as sacrifice because I liked football a lot and I just wanted to become a pro. So for me, it didn't really felt like I had to sacrifice a lot of things.
And you've always been a fan of Barca, right?
If
I understand. How did it feel just to land in that, you know, your dream job?
No, it was an amazing feeling. I remember the moment that Barca really became serious for me and they wanted to sign me. And from that moment, I was really like, okay, I told my agent I wanted to go to Barca only and just get it done with them. And then the moment I signed for them, it was just, I felt really proud and it felt like a dream coming true.
You've been here for a couple of years now. Do you still have moments when you're like driving to the training facilities or the stadium that you realize like, damn, I'm living my dream now?
Yeah, sometimes I still have this because when I arrive at the training center, you look up, you see the sun, blue sky. Today, not so much, but normally, yes. And then you just have this moment when you're realizing I'm at Barcelona and I'm proud and I need to make the best of it.
And you're part of this new generation of players. What do you think are the challenges and opportunities for you guys?
I think there's a lot of opportunities, I think, for every generation, because but nowadays everything is available, information, we have the best coaches and stuff around us, so the possibilities are almost limitless, I think, and we need to grab the opportunities.
You know, Frankie, you're always smiling, right? You're always in a good mood, or you always seem to be in a good mood. Now, when you were living in the Netherlands and you were playing at Ajax, you could always go to Arkel a couple of times a week
to
you know, see your family, play around with your old friends.
Yeah.
So I was wondering, now you're in Barcelona, the lights are even brighter, but your family is a little bit further away. You know, what do you do to, you know, keep your head clear and keep that same spirit?
Yeah, if I have to call one thing that I miss, it will be my family and friends, of course. Luckily, I have my girlfriend with me and we have a dog, which is nice. And family can come over now, last year not because of the corona, but now they can come. This is really nice because I miss them sometimes. I think this would be the only thing that I really miss about being in Holland.
Yeah. Yeah, the dog, right? He's called Jagger, right?
Yeah, he's called Jagger.
The cockapoo,
yes.
Yeah?
Yeah, cockapoo.
What's your favorite spot to go with him?
Where we live, we have a mountain close. And we go up there to walk with them. And then you have a few from the whole city, basically. So I think that's our favorite spot.
Cool.
Nice. So what does success mean to you? What are the values that drive you?
When you're at the club at Barca, for example, we try to win every trophy available during the season. So I think success means when you win things with the team, and then just celebrate it after a year of hard work. So we're working really hard to win the trophies again. We didn't have the best start of the season yet, but there's a long way to go and you never know what will happen.
Frankie, do you have certain routines before games to prepare yourself mentally?
I don't have really a routine, like I need to put on my left sock first or stuff like this. I don't have this, but I always prepare myself in kind of the same way. I sleep a bit if we play at night, I sleep a bit during the day. Then I eat my pasta before the game and just routine things. But I don't have like something, okay, I need to put my left sock and then I need to put my shin pads like this. I don't have
no
a routine like this.
No. But do you do like mindfulness or meditation or something like that, or nothing of that sort?
No, I don't do meditation, but my meditation is to be with family, friends and girlfriend. This is my meditation.
We had some fans asking questions through social media. Okay. Can we hear one of the questions?
What was your biggest motivation to play football?
Just the joy I had in football. From the beginning, I started playing football. I liked it a lot. And I think to have, you always need to have fun when you're playing football. So this was my biggest motivation.
We were talking about that with Sam earlier, and it's the pressure of social media, right?
Yeah.
Before our generation, players didn't have the pressure of social media. What do you think about that?
I think people are on social media are always overreacting. So in a positive way and in a negative way. You have, when you're playing one good match, they feel like, okay, he's one of the best players in the world now. And then next week you will have a match where you're not playing well. And they say, oh, he's not good enough to play in, doesn't matter which club you are. So people are always overreacting and they shout really hard because they want to be heard. But the other side of social media is when you're playing good and the fans really like you, they give you a lot of support. But for me, I don't really go searching for reactions under my post or something like this. I don't give attention to it.
Yeah, I don't take it seriously.
No, not too much.
Good.
No.
So, since you moved here, you've been here for a couple of years now. What do you think has been your biggest development personally off the pitch?
Off the pitch, I think to be abroad, Holland, because family is far away. And I think me and my girlfriend, we settled really well in Barcelona. She's helping me a lot. So I need to give her a bit of credits as well, because without her, it would be a bit of a mess in our home, I think.
What's something she does for you that you absolutely can do yourself?
Cooking, for example, and no, I could do that maybe, but she does it better than me, so I will let her do it.
What's your favorite dish?
Favorite dish? I don't really have a favorite dish, but for example, the thing we are making here that you don't have in Spain so much is pannenkoeken. It's called pancakes, but then the Dutch ones, the big ones.
The big ones. Yeah.
So sometimes we're making this, and then I enjoy it a lot.
With cheese on top. Bacon?
Yeah, sometimes cheese and bacon, sometimes just the sugar. And I like those.
Just before a match now, you
no,
wouldn't do that?
No, before the match, only the pasta.
Very
That's
good.
Yeah. There are always a lot of staff members working behind the scenes. And what's somebody who isn't that well known that you think that's a crucial person in the club that should deserve some credit as well?
Now there are a lot of departments, so if I name one, the other ones will be a bit angry, but... For example, physios, the guys from the data analyzers, the physical trainers, they all help us a lot. And I think at the end, when everyone is working together and want to do things for each other, you will get greater success. So we're really grateful that they are there for us every day.
Cool.
You need to give advice to someone starting right now their career. What would it be?
I think it would be just to enjoy playing football, to have fun, because when you're doing something which you like a lot, you are always more motivated and you always want to do more for it. So you only need to go for it if you really like football.
That's good.
That's a good advice.
Yeah, that's a great advice, yeah. So in psychology, you have like the overjustification effect, which means like when you go do something because you like it, you become good at it, and then you get paid for it, and then it becomes a job, and people tend to lose the fun they have in it. But you're always smiling, you always seem to have a good time, you know. So how do you keep the fun in playing football in your job?
I think I just like it a lot, and because when you're having fun, what you said, I think the sentence is true. But I just try to focus on the fun part of football, and that's just being on the field and playing on it, and not to get lost into, for example, the comments on social media or something like this. Just focus on the things you like, and then it will be natural, everything.
Yeah. What's the best piece of advice your parents gave you?
I think to work hard and to always be disciplined.
Thank you so much, Frankie Dujon, for your kind words and honesty.
Yes.
And for being here today at this Cupra Next Gen podcast in collaboration with 433.
You're welcome.
Enjoy the training.
Thank you, I will.
Thank you,
Frankie.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
What an amazing conversation with Mark and Frankie. I think both lots of candor, honesty, and just very honorable people. So it was lovely to have them.
Yeah, I think it's great. We got a little bit of insight in their daily routines, how they prepare mentally for games, and what their life outside football is like as well. I really, really enjoyed it.
Next time on The Impulse, we'll dive even deeper in the next generation of Barca football players, and we'll speak to some of the shining stars of this new era. Thank you all for listening to The Impulse on this Cupra Next Gen podcast in collaboration with 433. It's been my pleasure to collaborate with you on this amazing episode, Sam. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
And to our listeners, stay tuned for our upcoming episodes. You can find us on Spotify and other digital platforms and the Cupra social media channels. I'm Zia Tayeb, and as you know, keep being the impulse of the future.